They're going to come down. Let's everybody stand for just a moment. Let them go down. Our adult choir is coming to the platform. Is that right? We're fixing to sing. And don't worry, I'm not going to lead it. He is. Amen. Thus far in your house. God, thank you for just reminding us this morning of how wonderful you are to us. Thank you for your help. And Father, we ask now that you would help us tonight. Just for the Terry, as he brings the message, Lord, would you fill him with your power and use him. Bless our preacher. And God, I pray that you would use him tonight where he is at. And Father, thank you for the opportunity that he has to go and minister to others. Thank you for the ministry that you've allowed him to have in our lives. We ask you now to bless in this service according to your will. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, what? This, okay, stand up. This will be fun. I don't think you got the words of this on the screen because I looked for them a while ago. But what I want to do is because he keeps me singing. If you got a book out there, it's 572. I think you at least know the chorus. Probably know the verses, but number 572, he keeps me singing. Stirred the slumbering chords again on the second.
Oh, my life is spent by sin and strife. This will fill my heart with pain. Jesus, 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 Jesus
And I still can't remember how we're supposed to do things. Well, I have that piece of paper over there. Amen. It's a little different when you get up here and the lights come on you and all of a sudden you're like, no brain dead. But let's get our ushers to get ready to receive our offering and we'll go ahead and do that now. And just continue to give because we are seeing great things accomplished here because of your giving. And we will continue to see great things accomplished because of your giving. Looking forward to what God is going to do for us here in the future. I'm excited about it. I know a preacher is, talks a lot about it. And as a matter of fact, that's all that's on his mind. You want to get his attention, just say the word building, and then you can say whatever you want to. After that, he'll have his attention. That's consumed him, and I'm glad we have a pastor with a vision. Amen? So we thank God for that. Brother John Emery. Thank you.
choirs, you get to do the ones you really like. So we're going to do a couple songs that I really like. We haven't done this in a while, but this testifies a good song. You can get into it, and then we're going to do Calvary Came Through. choir comes down, we'll sing "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." Again, let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a time of fellowship. Let's sing the chorus.
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be born, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the Savior
this song. I kind of hesitate about saying anything because the song deals with the subject of death. But I think back a few years ago when I was coming back from somewhere down in South Alabama, come back up Highway 59, go back up to Sulphur Springs right down here across the Alabama line on 59. And I stopped. I went to the little cemetery there where my mother is. And I just sat down and prayed and talked a little bit. It started getting dark. It started getting cold out there. And kind of a little shiver came over me. And I thought, well, nobody comes after sunrise. They always come in daylight. And then I thought again, it doesn't really matter because she's not here. She's at home with the Lord. See, that's the advantage that we as Christians have over the world. We don't have to worry about death because it's just a journey to a better land. I hope you'll enjoy this song and take it in its proper context. By day. comes together, all the souls are worthy. No respecter of any person, it claims the feeble, strong, the bold. All must pass through the valley of the shadow. Man and woman, young, in the valley of the shadow, then we'll hold no stream quarry. I'll be sheltered in the arms of Jesus, and I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Praise the Lord. More than child of God, resting in Jesus, it's just a journey to a heavenly place, and the sting of death has been blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Just a couple of quick announcements before Brother Terry comes. Something I didn't mention this morning. We've got Mother's Day coming up. Brother Bob Daugherty will be with us just in a couple of weeks now, and the Wisdoms will be here singing, so don't miss that special day. Of course, we'll be packed out that day, and folks bringing family in and different things like that. And then May 27th through 29th, you don't want to miss this. This is our second revival of the year, and trust me, you don't want to miss this, all right? This is my home pastor, actually, the church that I came here from. Brother Larry Brown will be here with us, and you don't want to miss those 3 nights. They'll be a real blessing to your heart. Come with your seatbelts buckled, and get ready. If you've ever heard Larry Brown, you know what I mean when I say that. But you'll enjoy him, and you'll enjoy what God does for us during that meeting. It's good to have Esther's parents with us tonight, Charles and Sherry Case. Did I get it right? It's good to have them with us. They're missionaries to Australia. We appreciate them being here. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And Esther's been a blessing to our church and to our young people and our singles and everything. And so we just rejoice to have her here in our church and have them with us tonight. Thank you all for being here. It's good to have Terry here preaching for us tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Always enjoy getting to hear him. We talk about messages all the time. We talk about preaching all the time. That's our life, and that's what we talk about a lot. We share outlines, and the message you'll hear tonight, I gave him a few weeks back. And no, Terry, come on, preach.
Lord help.
Yeah, boy.
Put your lightning rods up before the Lord strikes us all down. I'll guarantee you that. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for that warm introduction. They've heard me preach longer than they've heard you, and they know good and well I don't get my outlines from you. If you have your Bibles, please open them up with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19. I'd like to reiterate what Aaron said about Brother Larry Brown going to be with us. I am so excited about him coming. I heard somebody say one time, you don't listen to Larry Brown, you experience Larry Brown. Larry Brown preached at a church here in town that will remain without mention, and he preached on armed and dangerous. And the message was preached while carrying a pistol in holster and switchblade in hand. He is a unique servant of God, and maybe he won't bring his gun this time, but you come because I know that you will enjoy him. He'll fit in fine around here, I promise you that. Luke chapter 19, I want to share with you from a story that's very special to me and has been now for the last few months. I go back and read it often again because I love it. Luke chapter 19, if you would stand in honor of God's Word, Luke chapter 19, we'll begin reading. I think I've got verse 28 on the screen. If I don't, I'm going to read it anyway. Luke 19 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken," that's Jesus, "he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them." We'll stop right there and we'll look at the rest of the chapter in more detail. You can be seated. Let's pray. And for the next few minutes, with his help, well, you go ahead. No problem. You're not going to bother me. She's got to go home, so be careful. Luke chapter 19. Amen. All right, there we go. Luke 19, I want to share with you the next few minutes. You pray for me. If anybody else needs to go, help yourself. I'd appreciate it if you'd stay, though. I want to share with you this thought. Jesus, I'm willing to be your donkey. Jesus, I'm willing to be your donkey. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that right now your presence will come down, and Lord, you'll calm our hearts and prepare us to hear from your word. I need you, and I ask that you'd stand with me tonight. I'm not capable to accomplish what needs to happen tonight. Only you can do that. So I pray, God, that you will. We ask you to come now, and we ask you to speak to us from the Word. Give me strength, give me utterance, and I promise, Lord, we'll give you all the glory because you alone are worthy. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It may sound a little odd coming from a preacher, but I believe that in general, people are willing to be many things for Jesus. Many are willing to be his children. Some are even willing to take it a step further and become his servants. But if I were to say to you tonight, how many of you are willing to be his donkey? I venture to say that few, if any, would be very excited about that possibility. I mean, we are willing to be things for Jesus as long as they're commendable, respectable, honorable, reasonable. But a donkey, that sounds a little extreme. Some of you are probably thinking that sounds like some kind of cult I heard about on 2020. Well, I'm not advocating a new cult, but in Luke chapter 19, we meet a donkey or a colt that I think teaches you and I some lessons and reminds us about what it actually means and what it actually takes to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. John Phillips tells us that the lowly donkey is mentioned some 140 times in Scripture. It's a prominent animal throughout your Bible, but this donkey in particular, in Luke chapter 19, has fascinated me. He's a donkey that I believe has a lesson for everyone. Now, he doesn't speak as Balaam's donkey spoke in the Old Testament, but I don't think he has to. I believe his story speaks for him. I'll show you what I mean. There's three things that I want to point out to you in regards to this animal tonight, and I believe if you pay attention, you might be surprised how much his story is a reflection of our story. How much we have in common with this donkey in Luke 19. Three very simple things I want to share with you tonight. First of all, I want you to see this. This donkey had to be bought. This donkey had to be bought. Now, our story appears to begin here in Luke chapter 19 as Jesus sends a couple of his disciples out to go fetch this donkey and bring him back. But the truth of the matter is you have to go a little bit further back than Luke 19 to get the full story. I told you this donkey has a wonderful story to tell. But I believe his story begins much earlier than Luke chapter 19. You see, he teaches us that he has to be bought. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, let me show you a couple of things from the Word of God. Notice, first of all, his problem. His problem. I told you this donkey had to be bought. He had to be bought because he had a problem. Now, it would appear to the casual reader of Luke chapter 19 that this might be the luckiest donkey in the world. I mean, he got to carry Jesus on his back. Now, three of the four gospel authors recorded his story so that tonight you and I are reading it. He appears to be a pretty fortunate donkey. But the truth of the matter is that this donkey, just like every single donkey born in his day, was born with a serious problem. You see, the Old Testament law in Exodus chapter 34 declared that the donkey was an unclean animal. Truth of the matter is that he was doubly cursed. He didn't chew the cud and he didn't have cloven hooves. Therefore, he was doubly cursed by the law. He was born with a serious problem. The problem was that he was born under the condemnation of the law. And God took this state of being unclean so seriously that he declared in Exodus 34 that the firstborn, every firstborn donkey should be put to death. I believe you'd agree with me that our donkey had a serious problem. He was condemned to die because of who he was. Now, you may not realize it tonight, but just like this donkey, you and I were born with a serious problem. You see, just like this donkey, the law had declared us unclean in the sight of God. And that same law had declared that you and I must pay the penalty of death because of our state before God. Well, the truth of the matter is that every one of us born, every human born, is born with a serious problem of sin. I read recently that Billy Graham, before he was going to go into a large city to preach a crusade, sent a letter to the mayor of the city and asked that mayor to send him a list of people in the city that had great spiritual needs. Well, Billy Graham was quite surprised when the mayor sent him back a copy of the city phone book. It appears the mayor understood what this story teaches us, and that's every one of us has great spiritual needs. Every one of us are born with a big problem. We're condemned by the law. Now, that is his problem, but I want you to notice something else. I told you this donkey had to be bought, and I showed you his problem, but notice also his provision. His provision. Now, if our donkey was supposed to die at birth, what is he doing alive and well in Luke chapter 19? We know he had the problem of being unclean, but how did he escape the penalty for being unclean? I want you to look with me at a very special verse of Scripture as it pertains to our story. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 20. I don't put it on the screen because I want you to look at it in your Bible. Exodus 34. Hold your place in Luke and go to Exodus chapter 34. I want you to notice one verse of Scripture with me. I believe there are times that not only hearing the Scripture does good, but seeing it printed in the Word of God. I want you to see this with me. Exodus 34 and verse 20. His provision. The Bible says in verse 20, "But the firstborn or the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb." Let me read that again for those of you who are asleep or weren't there yet. Now 34:20 says, but the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. Did you catch it? He was born condemned by the law, condemned to die, but God made a provision. God said if the owner of this animal that had just been born decided that for some reason he wanted to keep this unclean animal, he could take a little lamb, and he could get in with me, offer that lamb as a sacrifice in the place of this little donkey. That means that our donkey in Luke 19 was bought. Somewhere he had been redeemed with a lamb. Well, I'm not even ashamed to tell you tonight, this is where I begin to look like a donkey. There was a time when the law had declared that Brother Terry was unclean. The law had said that I must die because of my sin. Oh, but God made a provision for me. Now, there was a day when the spotless Lamb of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, descended to offer himself up as my sacrifice, my propitiation. And he became the Lamb that redeemed me. Oh, my. I could stop right there, and the Lamb with this little donkey had done enough preaching to last us the rest of the week. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've been bought. I'm glad God didn't do what I deserved and put me to death. There was a provision. The songwriter said, oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. This donkey had to be bought. Can I get a witness? Amen. Notice something else. We see not only that this donkey had to be bought. Notice secondly, we see that this donkey had to be brought. He had to be brought. There's something else that this little animal in Luke 19 has to teach you and I, and that's where we find him in our text. The very fact that he's alive, when we look in Luke 19, teaches us a valuable lesson about the fact that he had to be bought. But there's something else he teaches us that we see when we turn to Luke 19. Notice a couple of things about this donkey having to be brought. Notice, first of all, his bondage. His bondage. Verse 30, Jesus tells his disciples, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied. Notice those last three words. A colt tied. Now get the picture with me here. Here is a donkey that has been bought with a lamb, redeemed with a lamb, but he's anything but free. Now verse 30 tells us that he spends his days tied to a post. Now I can imagine that this donkey can look around and see all the fields of green around him, and maybe even hear the brook running down below his feet, and he would love to have that, but he can have no part of it because he's bound. He's tied to the post, if you will. In other words, this donkey has his life, but he doesn't have liberty. Here again is a place where many of us look like donkeys and don't even realize it. But you see, the truth of the matter is there are some in the church who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, but have never been released by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. In other words, they have been saved from the penalty of their sin. They're not going to die and go to hell, but they've yet to be saved from the power of their sin. They're still bound and tied to some kind of besetting sin in their life. Now, I believe these other Christians come into church and they see all the other believers feasting on the fields of grace and enjoying all that Christianity has to offer, yet they can have none of it because they're bound and tied to some sin in their life. They can have none because they're held. I heard a great preacher say one time, the greatest sin is the sin of living below our privileges. Let me say to you tonight, one of the privileges of being a child of God is freedom. One of the privileges of belonging to the King is liberty. We have freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet how many of us void our freedom because we choose to be bound and held back by some sin? Come on now, don't leave me because I'm talking about sin. How many of us leave and completely void having the liberty of Jesus Christ because we choose to allow ourselves to be tied to some besetting sin, as it's called in the New Testament? Oh, this donkey was in bondage. But I want you to see something that really blessed me. We see not only his bondage, but notice further his blessing. Now, this donkey was tied to a post. He was in bondage, but verse 30 tells us that a blessing was on the way. I love this because when you read through the next few verses of the chapter, it really teaches us some things about the power of Jesus Christ to set people free. Can I tell you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ can set people free.
Amen.
He is in the emancipation business. Somebody say amen. He sets people free. I want you to see, first of all, that Jesus, in verse 30, told the disciples exactly where they would find this donkey. You know why? He knew exactly where the donkey was. Can I say to you tonight, it matters not how far you may have gone. It matters not where you're tied up, what post is holding you down. The Lord Jesus has never lost one of His own. He knows exactly where you are right now. But not only did He know where that donkey was, but did you notice that He sent the disciples to set him free? Oh my. Do you know tonight that it's not the will of God that you live a life of bondage? That Jesus didn't save you so that you could be held by a prison of sin. And no, the truth of the matter is, just like He told the disciples, He wants to loose you so that you can come to Him. He told the disciples, loose that donkey and bring him to me. Oh, He wanted him to be free. But you know what really got me? It was not only that Jesus knew exactly where the donkey was and that Jesus desired that the donkey be free. But what really got my attention out of this chapter was that Jesus had the power and the authority to let that donkey free. He said, fellas, when you go to set the animal free, if anybody says to you, what are you doing? You tell them, Jesus has need of him.
Yeah.
The Lord has need of him. I like the way J.D. Jones described this transaction. He theorized that Jesus knew the owner of this donkey and that Jesus had gone to this owner and prearranged this and said, one day I'm going to need this donkey. And they set up what J.D. Jones called a password. And that password was, the Lord hath need of him. I read that and I thought, boy, that's good. There's so many of us Christians that live our lives bound to sin. When the truth of the matter is, all we have to do is look up at the devil and use our password. All we have to say is, I'm sorry, I can't stay here tied to your post. The Lord has need of me. I don't have to stay bound. I'm not yours anymore. Your sin can't hold me. The Lord has need of me. Say amen. And you say, well, that doesn't work. Don't tell me it doesn't work. He has the authority. He said, if they question you, you tell them, I sent for you, and I'm the one that needs you. Oh, listen, I believe with all my heart, if some of His children would just get a hold of the truth that the Lord Jesus has the ability to set us free. We'd understand that when the Son of Man sets us free, we're free indeed. No, we're no longer slaves to the post that once held us down. We can be free. He was blessed. The donkey teaches you and I that Jesus is not interested in leaving us in bondage. He's interested in blessing us. He said, bring him to me. Oh my, there's something else I want to show you and then I'm done. We see not only that this donkey had to be bought and this donkey had to be brought, but notice thirdly and finally we see that this donkey had to be broken. This donkey had to be broken. There's yet another lesson that the lowly donkey has to teach us in Luke 19. Verse 30 tells us that it was a donkey that nobody had ever ridden. So he was a wild donkey, if you will. And the truth of the matter was, if he was ever going to be of any use to Jesus, something had to happen. He had to be broken. I say to you, the donkey had to be broken. Notice, first of all, from the text, the position he accepted. The position he accepted. Now, if you read on in the story, Jesus sent for this donkey because he desired to ride this donkey in the triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, completely displaying his claims as the Messiah. Now, Zechariah, the prophet, prophesied that one day the Messiah would come lowly and just with salvation riding on the back of a colt. So Jesus is using him to fulfill prophecy. The only problem is, this donkey was not accustomed to and was not used to anybody riding him. It had never been the case that anyone had ever controlled him or guided him. So in order for this little arrangement to work between Jesus and this donkey, somewhere this donkey had to accept his position under Jesus Christ. Somewhere he had to be broken. You see, the donkey had been bought and the donkey had been brought, but now for it to work, he had to be broken. He had to accept his position of servitude underneath the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, you and I are starting to look a whole lot more like donkeys. Truth of the matter is, if we're ever going to have the kind of relationship where the Lord Jesus can use us to minister to a darkened world, we must accept our position of servitude under Him. If we're ever going to achieve our purpose, if we're ever going to be able to fulfill what He did, what He's done for us and through us, then we've got to be broken. What that means is that you and I, who are not used to anybody controlling us, you and I that are not used to have somebody lead us, are going to have to submit. We're going to have to accept our position underneath the Savior. The old Puritan preacher, Richard Baxter, that lived so many years ago, they said when Richard Baxter preached, he preached as a dying man to dying men. As he lay on his own deathbed, Richard Baxter said these words, "Lord, what Thou wilt, where Thou wilt, and when Thou wilt." May I say to you tonight, somewhere, we've got to accept our position. We've got to be willing to say, "Lord Jesus, not where I will, or where I want, or Lord, what You will, where You will, and when You will. I'm willing to be what You want me to be." You see, when he accepted his position, something happened. Notice not only the position he accepted, but notice further the purpose he achieved. Now, as this donkey has been broken and he submits to the Lord Jesus, he begins to fulfill the most wonderful purpose that any creature can fulfill. I want you to look, if you look in your text about verse 35, we see Jesus gets on the donkey and begins to ride him toward Jerusalem. Then in verse 37, look what it says. "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives," he's coming back there one day, by the way, "the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God," look at this, "with a loud voice." Oh, listen, don't you ever be afraid to lift your voice. "Praise Him with a loud voice." Why? "For all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Did you see what just happened? Look at me. This donkey's job was to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he began to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, he became visible. And when Jesus is visible, it's only inevitable that somebody's going to praise Him. Look at me. When we lift Him up, He is seen. And when He is seen, people will say, will praise Him. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." This donkey began to lift up the Lord Jesus, and as he did, people began to praise the name of Jesus. We don't find anybody saying, "Look at that colt, ain't that Joe's colt?" No, all eyes are fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that's seen. Do you see again how you and I can be like donkeys? The truth of the matter is, our one single purpose in this earth is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ so that He may be seen. And when we do that, when we achieve that purpose, He gets all the glory. You know why? He alone is worthy of the glory. This donkey was broken, and he was broken so that he could achieve his purpose. He had been bought by a lamb. He had been brought to the lamb. Now he was broken for the lamb, so that the lamb could be seen. Oh, listen, friends. We are of no use to Him. Let me say that again. We are of no use to Him as long as we're wild, rebellious donkeys. We're of no use to Him as long as we're the ones that run the show. Somewhere we must be tame, timid, broken donkeys that are willing to accept a position of servitude so that we can achieve a purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus. He alone is worthy of the glory. Say amen. Amen. I'm sure in this building, there are those who at one time or another have told God, "I'll do this for You. Lord, I'm willing to do that for You." But I'm wondering tonight, how many of you would be willing to say, "Jesus, I'm willing to be Your donkey. Lord, I don't have to have the applause, and I don't have to have the recognition, and I don't have to have all the acknowledgement. I'm just willing to be Your donkey. I'm willing to be one who will exalt You and lift You up so the world sees You and You alone." It's not a popular thing. It's not even really a very proud thing. But can I tell you, it's the entire reason He bought you. It's the reason He brought you. And it's the reason He wants to break you, so that He might be glorified in a vessel like a donkey. I ask you again, are you willing to be His donkey? With heads bowed and eyes closed, musicians come and begin to play softly. We're not going to drag this out tonight, but if this text speaks to you the way it has spoken to my